Conscious Fitness Fit Nation,
your show, founded by veterans and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their story to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share some of your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you're a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and share how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we'd love to have you come on and just share your story with us. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down or alone or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or are embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you're a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app and also on our YouTube channel at @the_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date with our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Electricast Media and About Face Radio. This will keep you tuned into us and learn more about our great guests.
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.
He works on raising the awareness of our limitless human potential and comprehending wisdom. He is an advocate for helping understand neurodiversity. His dyslexia and dysgraphia forced him to develop an awareness of seeing the world purely from a human perspective. Creating art completed his awareness of what it is to be human relevant or system relevant. So without further ado, let's welcome to the Misfit Nation show, Michael Magouche. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, I love the title Misfit, because we are 8 billion people and everybody is a misfit. Because you know the any system that we have, religion, military, government, whatever, can always tend to the median. But the people on the tails of the median are changing the world. And it is another thing that just came to me. It's just so many military, you know, a system would never acknowledge that. But humans can see it. Artists and humans, and I know a lot of military people, not a lot, but I know some military, they go out with artists, they marry artists. And I said, why the hell? This has nothing to do with each other. But it has, because military is human-centric. Artists are human-centric. It's funny, system use art and military, but basically to hold the team together, to be, have the cohesion, is all about humanity. There's no system to tell you have to be with your comrade or whatever. It's basically trust into humanity. And it's funny that art both really understand each other well, and also a tremendously PTSD. There's unbelievable breakthroughs with art creation when they do art creation. So it's no. This is not a mistake.
It's a great connection we have here, and like you said, that art does help with some people with their PTSDs. Every person's different, but art is one of the main topics that they talk about, either painting mm-hmm. or physical art, like plaster and stuff like that. People really adhere to that and make their mind erase, or not really erase, escape from the pain or the darkness that they're going towards. So that you're definitely right about that. Yeah. Michael, I gave just a little blurb of your life there in the beginning. If you'd like to expound upon that a little more from as far back as you want to go to how we got to where we are now, that would be great for the Misfit Nation.
Okay. So I was a sick child. When I was seven, I got in first grade and I was hitting the wall again by not understanding, not regurgitating, not being able to compete. I understood the curriculum, but I couldn't regurgitate it. I couldn't do tests or whatever. And about 40 years ago, they told me, you know, you're dyslexic, but basically you have to also do, do all the tests and everything like everybody else. So really that diagnosis that I was dyslexic didn't do anything for me. It actually made it stronger because made it worse because it's the system school where you want to fit in, right? When you're young, you want to just belong because you're DNA driven to belong. And I couldn't. I repeated three grades and I was an A personality. I wasn't a rebel or anything. I just couldn't comprehend, regurgitate. And I was forced to be, from that, I was forced to be good with humans, to make sure that I have a good human connection. Because if I wasn't, if I couldn't create that human connection, I would have been lost, you know. And art creation was one part, because in the art society, it's like kind of in the military, it's where it doesn't matter gender, race, you are part of the team and the team has to accomplish something. So it's the same in military, it's the same as in the symphony. If you have the best conductor and the best violinist, the best oboist doesn't do his job, the whole thing is irrelevant. So it gave me an understanding that I belonged, either from looking at films like a lot of people, looking at films, listening to music, and that I'm not wrong. It's all about relating, you know? And then when I was about 30, I looked at my resume, and all my resumes were about creativity, were creating art. Like, I sold tapes out of my trunk. I produced fashion shows. I went to advertising, television, all these things. So when I was 30, I think a pivotal point was when I was 30, because I realized, because I couldn't fit in anywhere, that art saved my life. I really got that. And all my jobs were art related. So I said, I really don't need anybody to tell me I'm an artist, or society or any system telling me you are an artist. I was an artist, even if I wasn't famous or not. And I think that helped tremendously in the future, because I did exhibitions, I did all this stuff, but I never got famous. But it helped me a lot to don't care about what the system says. And I could never fit into any system. So I had to always rely on myself. One thing I did was I was quote unquote system successful, because I was elected by 6 of 7 councilmen to the Newport Beach Arts Commission. I was co-producing with Robert Evans, who did The Godfather and Love Story. I wrote 5 books. I mean, I did what I did, and I was always a leader because I had to be in hospitality, as you know. Artists have to pay their ways to be artists. And and it brought me to now, where I finished up my 6th book right now. And I'm happy because I found to separate art product from the art creation. And now I'm separating humanity and nature from systems. And just to compartmentalize, we need systems, obviously, but to compartmentalize it. And I've seen that comprehension that we are where we are, we can resolve a lot of conflicts, inner misunderstandings. Because if you say, I don't have a job tomorrow, that is not a human problem. That is a system issue. If you say, my son is sick, you know, I have to stay with my son because he's sick, that is a human problem. If you cut yourself, you have to take care of yourself. That's a human problem. So the priorities, you can compartmentalize your priorities. And that's and that makes you aware of how much we are conditioned over generations that we feel guilty to take care of our son, right? If we should go to work, you know, work is waiting. That's a system that we create. That's a game. That's a monopoly game we created. Your son is your son. It's your offspring. You got to take care of him. You know, there should never be a guilt or anything that you don't go to work. And it makes you more and more aware of that. And I think it's one of, it's really the puzzle piece that we need to understand our human condition.
You're very correct right there. And I know a lot of people that sacrifice their health to go to work, just to go to the job, even though they were sick, they were burning out and still would go and go there because it was the thing to do. Like you said, the system has you. Yeah. And you just become basically a cog in that system, piece of the machine that you think that you have to be there at all times. And if you're not there, everything's going to fall apart, or you'll never catch up to where you were the day before or something like that. Yeah. So that's something I think we all need to just take a step back and think about. If I'm not taking care of me, there's not going to be a we on that team anyway, because I won't be able to keep going.
Exactly. This is so perfect, because if you're not the best that you can be, right? Army slogan, right? you cannot, the team is off. It's like the oboe player is bad. It doesn't matter how good of a conductor you have or quarterback you have. It doesn't matter. If the guy doesn't catch the ball, the running back, you're gone. You know, it's just, you got to be there at the right time and be the best that you can be. You can make mistakes, obviously, but that's human too. You know, that you need to be understanding too. But when you have a good team, a cohesive team, everybody picks up the slack. Everybody, I don't need to tell you anything, you know? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's the same in art. It's so funny. It's all about, you have two leads and everybody looks at them, but if the stage hand doesn't work, if the props don't work, the whole thing falls apart, you know?
It just looks like a big mess.
In a company, it doesn't, because the CEO and the CFO, see, this is what's messed up. Because you have a guy on the bottom that puts together an iPhone or whatever, or a shoe. If that guy doesn't have the system requirements, you exchange him. Right. And you never know that this guy was exchanged. You have no idea what they go through. And in military and in art, you know what the people are going through, how hard it is, how we practice, how we get to the point, you know, when it's there. And it's sad to see, like, the current war. I mean, that people have to sacrifice for somebody or a system that we created. We created Russia, America, humans created Russia, America, Switzerland, Nike, Apple, Google. We created it. We can't sacrifice this for that. We are the gods of systems. To sacrifice ourselves for that system is a system decision. It's like when humans become, see, the people say, the robots are taking over AI. No. Everything has a good and a bad. You can do atomic energy and you can do an atomic bomb. You can have an airplane, or you can go on 9/11 use it as a bomb. You can use every human creation for good and for bad. The question is why we are doing this. Why are humans doing this? Because in nature, that doesn't happen. When a lion fights or whatever, they fight real quick and they go apart. They get released that energy. They fight and confirm dominance, and then they go apart. When a lion bites a gazelle, he eats a gazelle, an hour later, you have gazelle grazing right next to the lion because they know the lion is full. You know, the zebras go right next to it. It's like, but in our system, that monopoly system that we created, we need to kill all the gazelles to have something tomorrow to sell it to the neighbor or whatever. It's just, we have lost the awareness that we are a species of nature. That's what I feel more and more and see it everybody. We act like robots. I'm not worried about robots. I'm worried that we, because we are so adaptable, you know, that's a superpower of us, that we just act like robots and we act like Putin, or we act right somebody that is system disturbed and says, I ain't got to take advantage of that systems because people are so benevolent. I could just have them sacrifice them for themselves. You know?
Exactly. And it's a good, you brought up old Vlad over there and his ways of doing things. He's a very old school and he's brought up in the old KGB model. And now he's leading with that KGB model and trying to lead with fear. And he's on the world stage leading with fear. I got a message today. Did you see what he did about the nuclear? I said, yeah, he's rattling sabers because that's what he does. He's trying to get people to be scared to make a reaction to do something for him. And he's been doing this for a year now in the battle that he started in Ukraine. And hopefully at some point this battle ends and Ukraine can be free again and free of his grasp on the west side, the east side of Ukraine and southern side of Ukraine.
My question to you is, what human do you know in the history of humanity that wants war other than the system disturbed leaders that think more is better?
Right.
No human wants war. It's just the system disturbed that are from the system disturbed leaders that think the more I have, the better I am, that use humans to fight wars. Nobody wants a war. Nobody. And I'm not against the military. I'm saying the military needs to be here for safety, for protection. There's so much to do. You know that. There's so much to do for a military, for a soldier. But to waste human life is a sin in every religion. It's in everything you think. To waste a life, and it's not for nothing that it is a sin for everything. Because we are human weave, and when you die, it affects me. I'm not aware of it, but it will affect me, or if I die, it affects you. And if 200,000 people died in Russia, you don't think that affects us here? Of course it does. Because we are inclusive. Our power is in that we are all together, that we find each other, you know?
Exactly. And I think the cascading effect of human loss is what we see, even like with the earthquake in Turkey, Syria, just 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks, 3 ago now. Yeah. The whole world gasped at that, and I think it's up to almost 44,000 or 45,000 we have lost there. And we say we have lost because it's the human race, because it's not just the Turkish people we lost, or the Syrian people that we lost. It's we as human race have lost 45,000 people in less than a couple of weeks. So actually, in a day, really, we're just finding them all as we go forward.
It's insane, and the thing is, at least in Turkey, there wasn't somebody that dropped a bomb or started a fight. See, you can always say, okay, it was nature, blah, blah, blah. But when wars is the absolute worst. I think it's a giving up of humanity. It's admitting, war is admitting that we can't do it another way, that we are lost. We have to kill each other, which is completely against human nature, because to force you to kill somebody that you don't even know, a father of a family or whatever, is about the lowest thing that you can ask from a human. And the system are saying, be proud, honor, Veterans Day, Memorial Day. I said, a day you give it 2 days to these people that you send around to kill other people? It's insane. This is not about politics or anything. It's just, it is absolutely the lowest thing ever.
It's a heavy burden that those who serve in keeping their chests and heads. Yeah. And then, of course, their families that they're that are home worrying about them all day and night and not knowing because there's no communication. And that there's ways to relieve some of that stress. And I think you bring some of that to the table through the arts. And I think art is something in our school system. I don't think we push it enough anymore. I think in maybe 30 years ago, we might have. Now it's kind of just second nature, second thing, a second thought that there might be an art teacher in a school or a music teacher in a school. How do you think we can fix that?
First of all, you have to understand what art creation really is. So art creation, I said before, it's about the product. It's not about the product. The system says it's all about the product. If you have a nice product, you're an artist. It's about the creation. What it gives you human-wise, the art creation, any creation. If you create a podcast, if you create a vase, if you sing, I suggested to soldiers that had limbs lost, I said, and couldn't even see. I said, listen to some music. Just listen, because what you are is the story. Look, we know that the best humans are the soldiers because they are aware that they have. They're intuitively aware. I said, I'm strong, I'm good. I can protect the tribe. That is a archetypal, really good resonance for a human to have that. I am here for the tribe. I know my function in the tribe to protect and serve. That is, it doesn't get better humanly better than that. Yeah, right? Okay. And then they get indoctrinated, they get vaccinated, they get whatever, and they get crazy. They dehumanize the enemy and to go in to kill. And that is about the best people will be disturbed the most by systems. The system, the governments destroy the best humans by sending him to kill other humans. And we gotta say that. We gotta have, this is not a political thing or whatever. It's awareness thing, because once you're aware about this, you can never forget it. And you got aware through that in battle, and I got aware by working and seeing that, and interacting with other humans. That's why healthy communication is the second superpower that we have. That's why podcasts go up, because we need to help ourselves. And what happens is what art does when you create art. And I give you an example with your podcast. You have this intuition or inspiration to do a podcast, right? Not every soldier has that. You have it. And you say, I'm going to do this. And you keep communication with your unconscious. That's when you sleep. You keep this saying, okay, well, how am I going to do this? I'm going to do this with buddies of the military. I'm going to do that, Monica. I'm going to do art. I'm going to how to help suicide, PTSD. Again, all these things that actually deeply affected you through your life, right? And you were faced with that. But you keep continuing because you could have done a show about whatever, cigars, smoking cigars in Vegas, but you didn't. And because you have that, you play with your unconscious mind. And what it does is it brings you to you. And the more you tweak it, the podcast, it's more and more becomes an extension of you. This is, by the way, what a business should be. It shouldn't be to make money. It should be an extension of who you are. Everything. And leadership is also system disturbed because leadership is a leader is the one that is the most self-aware. It's not the best shooter. It's not the best strategist. It's the one that is the most self-aware. And all a leader has to do is a part of the team. He keeps the team balanced. That's all his thing, because the team knows what to do. You don't need to tell the team what to do. You keep the team balanced and you cohesive and in harmony, you are unbeatable. Nobody can beat you. You are not the director, the CEO, the lieutenant that tells everybody what to do. You can still do that, but when the team doesn't understand why you do it, you're gonna have a shitty team. You know that. If I say you gotta do that and you gotta do that, and the team is laughing behind your back. So it's always a team decision. And what art does is brings you to the blueprint of how, always, art is something that always brings you to the blueprint of how we function, to see how we function. Like I said, with the symphony orchestra, if the oboist is bad, the whole system cracks. It shows you when you create something, I can say, oh my God, Rich, your podcast is the best podcast in the world, or it is the worst podcast in the world. So I can give you all these system judgments, but one thing I can never take away from you, that you did, that you created the podcast. That I cannot take away from. I can say, you are a horrible soldier. You're the best soldier ever. But I can never take away that you were a soldier. See, I cannot say for me, I know about soldiering because I'm not a soldier. And I never was a soldier. But you can, because you have been a soldier. And it doesn't matter if you're good or bad. You have been soldiering. You have done the job. And that's what art brings you. It brings you back to yourself. And when you have a mangled soldier that returns, and he might not see, he might not have limbs, and if he can connect to music, connect to a picture, he connects with all humanity, because that's what we do. That's what artists do. We draw from that universal creativity and create something that is for everyone. You know, it doesn't mean that you like it. You don't have to like it, but you feel that even if you don't like it, you feel that if you listen to music that is not your, let's say you like the Metallica, but it's not, and I play you Beethoven, you still get it. You know, that you get the muse, you get that muse, and it opens up something in your brain that you were okay. It's like, you know, you're seeing a film that is not even your genre, but something in that film speaks to you and you say, I'm okay being human.
Right. That's outstanding. That's a great connection you made there for everything. Michael, how does someone get in contact with you to learn more about the creativity, about your latest work, or maybe just to chat with you?
Yeah. MichaelM.com. Michael with two L's, MichaelM.com. And that's everything. There's the connection and whatever. And I don't have steps, you know, that I promote. I just say, if anybody that listens can start, try to compartmentalize what is human nature relevant and what is system relevant, and just separate those two, not to make them bad or good, but know that you are a species of nature, not knowing, oh, we are not nature, we are not systems. And that teeter-totter makes us making wrong decisions. See, if we know we are species of nature, we gotta be aware of that. And we will chase fulfillment, not success. Success is goals that you have to achieve, and then next quarter you have to achieve them again. And you start from this thing, it's a constant lack. It's a constant, but fulfillment is building on one thing. And so I like to milk the moment, our conversation. I love to be, you know, with you talking about this thing, exchanging. And it's not about how much I talk or you talk. It's about the magic that happens when two humans come together and have a conversation.
Exactly. And that's something I think we're also missing in this world right now, two humans talking and not just looking at a phone. So, So Michael, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for taking some of your time tonight to hang out with Misfit Nation. I look forward to seeing your work in the future.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. It's themisfitnation.com to catch up on all of our episodes and also to get some of that great Misfit Nation gear. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are. Fit Nation.